Let us bow in prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we humbly come before you to thank you for just being the God that you are. And Jesus, we thank you for so many things that you have blessed us with, and we just ask that you would bless what portion that we have given back to you. Bless these offerings and these tithes. May you multiply them and use them to expand your kingdom. And Jesus, may you be glorified all the more as we continually faithfully serve you. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior, we pray. Amen. Before we get into our word here this morning, are there any veterans here? No veterans? Could y'all stand? Today is Veterans Day, and I believe that one of the things that we have to be thankful for, there's several up there as well, is just the veterans for this great country that we live in. And if we could just, you know, say a nice hearty thank you to all of you. And so just thank you for your service. This morning we're going to continue our series on the reason for thankfulness. And what I'm going to say this morning probably won't shock anyone who has been in church or who has heard the gospel message or who has even read their Bible. However, it's my challenge to all of us to not allow familiarity to breed contempt. And what I mean is that sometimes we hear so many things so many times that we just take it all for granted. And that's my heart, is that this morning we will be reintroduced to an old truth, a truth that is really the foundation of our faith, a truth that really is the basis for how we interact with a living and loving God, a truth that really is the core of our Christian belief. And so last week we saw that a thankful heart is the end of all human conduct, and we saw that thankfulness is truly the anchor for the soul. This week we're going to start on a three-week journey, and we're going to see three different things out of the book of Psalms as to what we are truly thankful for and why we should be thankful. And really, it's what God has done for us. And my hope and my heart is that we won't just overlook these things, but we will embrace them. And what should happen in all of our lives is bubbling up out of our heart and welling up in our soul really should be a heart of gratitude. And it should reflect our relationship with the Lord. So, with that being said, let's turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 103, we'll be looking at the first five verses. If you've brought your Bible, and I certainly hope you have, turn with me and read along or listen as I read the first five verses. A Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is a Psalm of David, and David was king of Israel. He speaks of a personal experience of the forgiveness of God, and not only God's forgiveness, but of all of God's benefits. In verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of God's benefits. And then he begins to list a series of six different benefits specifically in verse 3, 4, and 5. The next 3 weeks, we're going to only look at three of those. He lists forgiveness right up front. And I want you to understand that David, King David, he was a man who did things that he ought not have done. He was a man who found himself in places he shouldn't have been. And he was a man who went places that he had no business being. And so he pens these words out of the experience of life, the experience of his life, and how he interacted and engaged the living God and what he was taught during those times of difficulty, during those times of receiving the grace and the mercy from the Lord. And he was taught truth about God's nature and about God and how he wants to interact with all of his children. You see, the psalm is really a summation of sorts of David's life experiences with God. And there are no requests in this psalm. All it is it's an outworking of praise. It's David's heart bubbling up and out and over, spilling onto the page, and sharing exactly his life experience with the living God. And this special distinctiveness exists in the connection between David's words and how he experienced God. This results in a faith that is worked out in life, and really it's a poem. It's a poem of David and David's experience with the Lord. He opens in verse 1, and he opens with an exclamation of a song of, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You see, David is really calling all of us individually to bring praise to the Lord. And I want us to understand that the address is not directed at anyone particular. David was addressing himself. And when we come to God, when we seek to bring God thankfulness and praise, we need to direct this direction toward our soul. And the praise of God truly begins with ourself and our inmost being. And the praise of God that we bring, it cannot be complete with anything else competing with space in our mind or space in our heart or space in our soul. And so David's saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." He's saying, "I hold nothing back. I don't want to cheat the living God what is due to his name, what is due to him because of what he truly has done." To bless the Lord, it means to delight God's heart by expressing love and gratitude for all that he is and everything that he has done in an individual's life. This delight brought to God through praising him without any requests. It pleases the Lord, but it only comes from a grateful heart, desiring to please God. The qualification of all that is within me, it indicates the entire being, including our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And basically, it's a desire to meet the living Lord face to face and to open our soul to the impact of God's living presence on our very life. You see, this is what David was saying. He was saying, "Hey, as I bless God, as I bless the Lord, oh my soul, I open it up to God's impact on my heart, on my life." And as we come forward, as we seek to create this solid foundation and basis of living and moving and experiencing God each and every day, that has to be our heart. That has to be our desire, is that we will open ourselves up to the impact of God's living presence deep within our heart and soul. You see, this inner desire is not only to give thanks to God, but it's more fully to see him and to enjoy his presence more fully. To not only see him and enjoy him, but to hang on to him and to grasp a hold of him, and to hold on to him throughout life's experience. The original impulses cause the whole person to want to cry out to bless the Lord in an act of turning to him. Friends, this truly, really is true spirituality. This is where life meets belief. Life meets belief. You see, sometimes we say things and we don't live life that reflects what we say and what we claim. Sometimes we live a way that doesn't reflect what we claim. And what David is saying, he's saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." It's where life meets belief, because David was bringing his life together and in an act of exclamation of blessing God because of everything that he had done for King David. His life met his belief. And it's true for you and for me. Our belief in God needs to be brought face to face with our life. And our life needs to be brought face to face with the reality of who God is and with the reality of how he has blessed us. And so, friends, as we cultivate this heart of thankfulness, when we do, we will yearn to bless the Lord with all we are. And it's us who do that, who will turn to God out of an awe and respect attitude, awe, A-W-E, And yet, at the very same time, we will give ourselves up to the love of God as revealed to us in God's saving deeds. We're going to discuss forgiveness here this morning. And forgiveness, like I said, it's the very core of the gospel. It's the very core of everything that we believe. It's the core of the saving act of grace of Jesus coming and dying on the cross. And so what I say this morning will probably not be new. It probably will not be fresh. It probably will not be profound. I'm going to tell you that up front. But familiarity breeds contempt. And sometimes we get so familiar with hearing the same thing, and sometimes we get so comfortable with hearing those different things that we forget. You see, the opposite of praise is forgetfulness. If we forget what God has done for you and for me and how he has saved us and ministered deep within our heart and soul, we will never bring praise to him. We will never exclaim with King David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," because we will have nothing to respond to, because we will have forgotten exactly why we should feel that way, because of God's benefits and what he has blessed us with. If you have your Bibles open, I'll just call attention to you to verse 10 and 12. You see, throughout this whole psalm, David moves back after he begins in verse 3, and he says, "Who forgives all of your iniquity?" And then in verse 10, he says, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor requite or repay us according to our iniquities." And then in verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he, so far does the Lord, remove our transgressions from us." So specifically, these three verses that we're going to look at and unpack dealing with God's forgiveness. As I mentioned, forgiveness is first, because it's the first and the greatest of the benefits of God. And thus, David places it square on the foundation. If you'll remember last week, we looked at the goodness of God. And because God is good, he's forgiving, even though sometimes and many times we don't deserve it. Forgiveness, friends, is essential, since it's impossible for any person to prosper in life as long as you or I are separated from God through sin. You see, when we're separated from God through sin and we don't receive or experience the forgiveness of God, then that separation holds us back. We don't experience the blessedness. We don't experience the opening of our soul to the impact of God's living presence. We don't open up ourselves to the inflowing of God's holy love and God's blessed compassion and mercy, because we are separated. And so the abundant life that Jesus speaks about and him bringing life and life to the full, we will never receive it because we have yet to receive God's forgiveness. And so David, who sinned and committed unspoken acts of rebellion against the Lord, he regards the very foundation of faith to be that of forgiveness. But it's not just any forgiveness. It's a certainty of forgiveness. It's a certainty that God will forgive. And it's the certainty of God's forgiveness. And thus, God removes the most serious obstacles in your life and in my life through his forgiveness, and he thereby provides new life and a new basis for life. I want us to understand exactly what the imagery is here on forgiveness. The imagery is God stooping down and literally lifting up and lifting off the burden of sin and removing it from you and I. When I think about this in the original text, and I study this, and I think that, my word, life many times will get bogged down and burdened down, and we will get so mired in our life because of our bad choices, because of what we may have done or may not have done. And God's heart, friends, is it's a heart that he says, "I want to stoop down, and I want to pick up and lift off of you the burden of what you have done and remove it and place it over here." And thus, that's the exact reason why David says, "As far as the east from is the west, so far does God remove our sins from us." You see, it's that removal. And it's until we experience God's forgiveness that we can move forward. Without experiencing God's forgiveness, we will not move forward with him or in life. We will be stymied. We will be stalled. We will not be able to move forward. Biblical forgiveness is God's reception of sinners into a new communion in advance of and apart from the payment for the offenses committed. And so you see, as God lifts up and as he removes off of you and off of me the sins that we've committed and he takes them over here, I want you to understand that he does that out of an act of love and compassion and mercy. And it's not that he does it to punish us. It's that he does it for your benefit. And he does it with an act of love, an act of heart, of grace and mercy and compassion. Know that, friends. Know that. As far as the east is from the west, so God moves and removes your sins and my sins. But there's three things that I believe that the Lord would have us to understand about forgiveness. The first we'll find in verse 3, who forgives all your iniquity. God's forgiveness covers all sins. It's a total effect. It's not just a limit amount. It's not this sense of, well, I've done this and God could never forgive me. No, God's forgiveness covers every sin if we ask. And that's the key. There is no limit. And sometimes in our life we get to the point where we think, I've done too much. God could never use me. God could never even, move in my heart because I have offended and I have rebelled too much against a holy God. And friends, there is nothing further from the truth because God's forgiveness covers all sin. That's why David penned that. Who forgives all your iniquity. It doesn't say who forgives some of your sins or some of your iniquity. Who forgives all of your iniquity. It stems from God's love, his grace, and his mercy, and his desire to forgive. There's no sin too big. There's no sin too small. There's no sin so far out of this world and thought of God could never forgive me. Friends, don't buy into that. Because God yearns to forgive. He yearns and he's quick to forgive. He wants to forgive. And all you and I have to do is to ask. So God's forgiveness covers all. It's a total forgiveness. It's not partial. The second is God's forgiveness is not partial. In verse 10, we're told, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. You see, sometimes we think that we suffer because of what we do. And that might be true in some consequences, but in all reality, it's not a punishment from God. Because he is not dealing with us according to our sins. If that were the case, every single person would be in trouble. We'd be in life separated from the Lord. We would have a life that would have no hope of ever being reconciled with God. We would be in a life that would be hopeless. And God's forgiveness is not partial. Meaning, he does not deal with you. He does not deal with me according to what you have sinned and what I have done. He does not deal with us in that way. He deals with you and he deals with me that in a way that reflects his love, his care, and his concern. And God's forgiveness shows his love for all people, regardless of their past or current life. Moreover, God's forgiveness reflects his character because he's a good God. So always know that God's forgiveness is not partial. The third thing that I believe that God would have us know is God's forgiveness is limitless. The interesting thing in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does the Lord remove our sins from us. It's interesting that David did not pinpoint north and south. If you were to look at the earth, we could see a finite point of the North Pole and the South Pole. And that would be a limited amount of space. And yet, we could look at the east and the west and we can go around and that never stops. So as far as the east is from the west, an infinite amount of space, God removes your sin, your transgression, your iniquity, my sin, my transgression, my iniquity from you and from me. Now, friends, this does not mean that we have license to live however we want to live, or may that not be the case. But it does mean that God is intentional in how he deals with our sin and he's intentional with what he wants to do for you and for me. And his intent is to lavish forgiveness on you and on me. That's his intent. God's forgiveness picks up the sin, as I mentioned, off of your back, off of my back, and removes it from you and from me. There's nothing too great. There's nothing too small. There's nothing we've done or nothing that we have omitted from doing that God will not forgive if we ask. Some years ago, I was teaching a class. I share this story, and this is a true story. I was teaching tree climbers class, a class of first grade boys. There's some 30 some odd young first grade boys in this class, and there was a young man by the name of Adam. It's a true story. And I was in my late 20s, early 30s, and we were painting Easter eggs, and we had the ability, they were ceramic Easter eggs, and the young men could paint them any way that they wanted. And Adam, he painted his all black. And I thought, that's strange. I didn't say anything to him, and I didn't mention anything to him. That very week in the lesson time, Adam received Christ as his Lord and Savior. The next week, Adam walks up to me and says, Max, hands me this Easter egg. I said, yes, Adam. He says, I don't like mine. Can I have another? I said, well, sure. So I handed him another ceramic Easter egg, and then I proceeded to watch this young man, and he's painting with red, with blue, with yellow, with green, with orange, all the colors. Now, my question to all of us is this. What was different between Adam painting his Easter egg black and then painting it with the whole panoramic rainbow of the colors? And the only difference in that young man's life was this, is that he came in face-to-face contact with the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the living Lord, and when he came into that contact of that forgiveness, his life changed. The only difference. And his soul was opened up to the impact of a loving God, of a compassionate, merciful Savior who loved him so much that he would remove all of those things that he did. And yes, he was a young man, but the scriptures attest that we are all born, we're all conceived in sin, and we are all part of the Adamic race, the Adam race. Yes, we are all damned outside of Christ. And that's our only hope. And that's the only thing that changed in that young man's life. And so for you and for me, friends, the possibilities are limitless. You think about the canvas of our life. The canvas of that ceramic Easter egg for Adam went from being total blackness to being vibrant and full of color. And your life is no different. My life is no different. The canvas of our life, once we come face to face and we are fully embraced within the forgiveness of the living God, the canvas of our life goes from total blackness to total vibrant, full of life. And that's why this is essential, friends. That's why. It's the forgiveness of God. And it's God's forgiveness. It's God's forgiveness that yearns to give us that new canvas to work with no matter what we've done. He will forgive everything, and all that we need to do is to ask. God yearns to forgive you. He yearns to forgive me. I just implore you to ask. To ask. God wants you and I to paint our lives with all the colors he gives. Even when we started out so very wrongly, he will and wants to forgive. As we close this morning, I just share with you a scripture from Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. If you ever wonder what the Lord thinks of you, look this scripture up. And I'm going to read it for you, and it brings a smile to my face because this scripture is so absolutely powerful. This is what God thinks of you, and this is what he thinks of me. The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You see, friends, that's why he's so quick to forgive. Every time he thinks of you, He rejoices over you with his gladness. He rejoices over you with his singing. And Lord, may our hearts be a heart that cries out saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless your holy name. All that is within us, may we truly bless the Lord, O my soul.